We're making it easier to listen to the World Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the World Talk Radio Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit worldtalkradio.com. The World Talk Radio Network, where the world comes to talk. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the World Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Hello, welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show. I want to tell you a true story today. So listen, the woman was so angry, she felt totally isolated and alone. She was exhausted from crying. Her body was racked with emotional and physical pain. Void of any energy left to fight the situation, she cried out to God during the dark night of her soul. A marriage 40 years in the making was ending. Learning to be single again was painful at age 58. Exhausted from the chaos, her tear ducts were dry. She wondered what would become of her, but before she could even catch her breath, she was diagnosed with colon cancer and had 5 mini strokes. Where was God in all of this? How did she handle it? She reached out to others who had their dark night of the soul also. She called that time in her life my winter, my time of dormancy. I'm happy to tell you, spring has come for her. A friend of mine helped her to make that journey from wanting to die to wanting to let the world know she's alive and has life left to live. My friend Mari lives on a small mountain. I go to stay with her when I return to my oncologist. I took a picture from her living room window that I keep on my cell phone. It's a reminder that I can go to that place of healing just looking at the picture. For you see, this story I just told you is my story, my journey. Are you going through a dark time? Do you feel like your God has abandoned you? Well, then today's program is for you. Mari Zimmerman has been a spiritual director for 16 years. And she's going to tell us about her journey, her dark night of the soul, to get to that place. So welcome, Mari.
Thank you, Dr. Melanie. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Well, it's been a long time in the making, but I'm glad we finally got it together. So could you explain to the audience the definition of just what is spiritual direction?
Well, actually, spiritual direction has a long history. Since ancient times, many cultures and faith traditions have had spiritual guides. Judaism's history of spiritual direction dates back to the prophets and priests of the Old Testament, or what we call the Hebrew Scriptures.
A long time.
Spiritual direction has always been a vital part of the Christian tradition. It helps one to focus on the faith dimension of life experience, all of life experience, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Okay.
A spiritual director doesn't direct one into a spirituality that is not the person's own. It's not a one-size-fits-all thing. Not if you do this and this and this, you will become holy. You will become closer to God.
Oh.
A spiritual director helps each person praise God by being uniquely himself or herself in this relationship with God.
Oh, so it's an individual plan for each person.
It's very individual. And it's a process of continued conversion toward a deepening union with God. The person in spiritual direction maintains responsibility for his or her life with God. The spiritual director is in no way a guru. Sorry about that.
Okay.
In fact, great care is taken to avoid dependency in the relationship.
Okay. So the spiritual director is a guide, but not really a director.
Exactly. Director is a bad term. We only use that because we haven't come up with a better one.
Uh-huh.
Actually, God is the director.
Uh-huh. That's as it should be.
We are merely facilitators.
Okay.
We try and make space for God in direction.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's not a good term, but it's the only one we have.
Okay, until a better one comes along.
Exactly.
So, okay. Well, I know a little bit about your story of how your journey unfolded and you became a spiritual director. Could you please share that with our audience?
Well, as is often the case, interest in a field or the foundation of a movement comes out of a personal experience or need. Well, it was that way with me.
Mm-hmm.
As an adult recovering from childhood sexual abuse myself, I discovered there was very little available. There just wasn't much spiritual support during that process. This was quite a few years ago, and at that time, many therapists didn't even recognize the importance of what happened to a person's relationship with God as they go through what can often become a painful process of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Many abuse survivors feel they were abandoned by God, or they're too damaged to ever be worthy of God's love, or they're too dirty to even approach God.
Mm-hmm.
Some survivors feel that they can't go to church because they'd contaminate the church.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that with my clients. Yes,
it's sad, but that's the way survivors feel many times.
Mm-hmm.
I began devising prayers and even little prayer services to help myself maintain my relationship with God. As I said, this was during my own recovery process, just because there was nothing much available at that time. I later revised and refined these prayers and prayer services, and eventually it was accepted for publication.
Hmm. Okay.
So then once it was published, other abuse survivors began approaching me for advice and guidance. Here again, my path was made clear by an unmet need. There just weren't many resources for survivors as far as any spiritual guidance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's the name of your publication?
That is called Take and Make Holy, Honoring the Sacred in the Journey, the Healing Journey of Abuse Survivors.
Okay.
And that was published by Liturgy Training Publications. They're located in Chicago.
Okay. Did you have to seek the publisher, or did they find you?
No, actually, once I, as I said, I revised and refined this many, many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent it out to several publishers who are in the field of publishing books on prayer and liturgy and that type of thing. And lo and behold, all three were interested in it.
Oh, good.
So I talked to all three of them, and Liturgy Training Publications is known in their field.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones that I was most familiar with because that's what they do. They publish books on liturgy and prayers and meditations and that type of thing. And the person I talked to there said, well, you know, we'll probably be harder on you than anybody else when we go through the editing process. And
wow.
I thought, yeah, that was scary, but it was also a blessing because I thought, you know, that means that this book is going to come out the best that it can be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what I wanted. I wasn't afraid of the editing process.
Good. And this is a question I haven't asked you, but I'm wondering, did any of your people who were inflicting harm on you, do they know about this book, or have they made comment about it?
Well, most of the people were dead. So
okay.
That wasn't really a problem or a question that came up, except for one person, and she sent it back to me and said she didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Okay. Well,
or
it's
me,
good
or
that
me,
you...
for, or me for that matter.
Well, that made it easy.
It did. It did. She just was not willing to acknowledge that things happened.
Mm-hmm.
Was not able to come out of her own denial, and therefore just would rather cut off any relationship with me.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
I honored that choice.
That's best. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you did a wonderful work that you offered it to the person for them to make comment. They chose not to. You covered all the bases.
Well, that was all I could do.
Mm-hmm. But you don't know if that didn't plant a seed in that person's mind to work on them later. You don't know.
No, have no idea.
Well, that's one of those God things that we just plant it and let God do the watering. We leave it alone.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So when you published this book, then did you do book tours and things like that?
No, not really, because it's a different field than the mass publications. They have a catalog, and they advertise in a few select magazines that have to do with liturgy, but it's really a different area.
Okay.
If I had to compare it to anything, any other field of publishing, I'd say it's more like, I guess, textbooks. You know,
okay. We need to go to a break, and when we come back, we will talk some more. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for us at keyword World Talk Radio.
If you are a parent of a child with autism, you know that there can be day-to-day struggles emotionally. Now you can share insights and outlooks with the Mother Cub Show. Your host, Susan Lynn Perry, a parent of a child with autism, will bring a new perspective to the subject, from diagnosis to effective treatments that are working. Her guests will include professionals, authors, and individuals that will bring wonder and hope to the world of autism. Tune in to the Mother Cub Show, Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
Follow the World Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at World Talk Radio. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the World Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/World Talk Radio or follow along with us at World Talk Radio, the World Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Do you know that digestive problems, ADHD, and chronic pain can be treated naturally? In fact, most health problems can be treated using integrative and alternative medicine. Find out about cancer prevention and managing diabetes. Learn how to use common herbs and spices to treat a variety of conditions. For the sake of your good health, tune in to Natural Solutions with your host, Dr. Sean Palmer, broadcasting live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
You're listening to the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Hello, welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show. Today, I'm talking to Mari Zimmerman, who is a spiritual director. And she, like many people, me included, you go through a dark night of the soul, then you wonder where God is and all of that. And so in her journey, she wrote a book about it, and that helped get the message out that God can help guide you through that time of your dark night of the soul. Her book is called Take and Make Holy, Honoring the Sacred and Healing Journey of Abuse Survivors, and it's published by Liturgy Training Publications out of Chicago. And if you would like to ask any questions of Mari, you can direct them to my email, that's drmelaniebarton@gmail.com, and I'll make sure they get sent to her. So, Mari, before the break, we were talking about your journey to becoming a spiritual director. How long did that journey take you?
Well, overall, it was several years. Spiritual directors actually respond to an invitation from God to participate in this ministry. Many persons who sense this calling choose to establish a stronger foundation in this area, just to enhance the gift that they've been given.
Okay.
Many of the training programs are set up for about a 2-year period of study. Now, I started out, as I said, after my book was published, people began coming to me, and I felt like I needed a stronger foundation.
Mm-hmm.
In several areas. I mean, the training program is pretty intense and covers some of the spiritual giants through the ages.
Uh-huh.
There is some psychology connected with it.
Good.
And just really, some of it is just being with others and doing spiritual direction with each other. So there's,
okay.
You know, it's a very practical training program. Now, I got into it because several people at my church had heard about what is called group spiritual guidance, and they wanted to form a group. And so we went to the Shalem Institute, which is, well, probably one of the first training programs for spiritual direction.
Mm-hmm.
And we went there, and this was a 5-day program. And while I was there, I talked to some of the people who taught there, and it just clicked with me. I knew that the next step that I needed to take was to apply to their 2-year program for spiritual directors.
Mm.
So piece by piece, step by step. It's nothing I sat down one day and decided, gee, I think I'll be a spiritual director.
Uh-huh.
You know, so often we take one step not knowing what the next step will be. And we kind of wait for God to show us the next step. And that's the path I took.
Mm-hmm. And people don't get into this to make a lot of money.
I'm sorry. No.
That's okay. No, because there's very little money involved on the receiving end for you, correct?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
In fact, at this point, several of us have started a spirituality center, and anything we receive goes to fund that spirituality center.
Okay. But you still have to pay taxes, I would guess, or record everything that comes in, whether
I have to. Yes, I have to record it at this point, and at various times. I've been at different places. I started out at a pastoral counseling center, and now I am with what we call the Center for Holy Listening. And that's a group of us who do spiritual direction. Mm-hmm. And it is nonprofit, and anything that we receive goes directly to the center.
Oh, that's very giving of you.
Well, as we said earlier, there is so little involved that it's a call, it's a ministry, and the only funds I have ever taken have just to maintain my expenses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely a calling. Definitely. You know, I know that Catholics and Episcopals and Anglicans, they have trained spiritual directors, usually associated with a parish, but do other church backgrounds have them too?
Well, I know of Presbyterian spiritual directors, Methodist spiritual directors. I know one person who's a Disciple of Christ minister. He does counseling, and he also does spiritual direction. I've also known a couple Jewish spiritual directors. So most faith traditions have spiritual directors, whether or not they call them by that name.
Okay. Well, that will be interesting for people who are listening to this program to go search that out to see if their church affiliation has such a guide or facilitator. So that'll be interesting. You know, many people confuse spiritual direction, biblical counseling, with psychotherapy. So how is it different?
Well, there's some very definite distinctions between spiritual directions and psychotherapy. In general, it might be said that therapy and counseling deal primarily with problem areas in one's life, and they attempt to bring healthy resolution to issues. Spiritual direction is concerned with finding and responding to God in the midst of whatever is going on in one's life, you know, including those times of pain and disorder. But problem solving is not the primary focus of direction. Spiritual direction works well in conjunction with therapy, but it's never a substitute for it. In fact, I've had to refuse to see a couple of folks unless they were also in therapy.
And I've had people I referred to you that I was working with when I was back in the same place area that you live because they needed that component, and I didn't want to do both. So it was a good blend.
I think it's very hard to do both because it's hard enough for spiritual directors to keep from taking too much responsibility for a person's spiritual journey. Mm-hmm. And it's a different role. And I know there are people who do both, but I think it would be very difficult.
Yes, I think it is. I know it was for me, so that was why I chose to refer them to you. So.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. So when somebody comes to you, how do you figure out what to do?
Well, it's not like, as I said, there are differences between spiritual direction and psychotherapy. We don't, in spiritual direction, look at someone and try and figure out what the problem is in their life, and then set up a treatment plan. We may question them, we may challenge them, we may make suggestions, whatever appears to be called for, but the directee, as I said, has to own their own spiritual journey. Whatever insights are uncovered, or whatever course of action that person decides on, they take responsibility for that. The director is only a facilitator, and it's a very individual process with each person.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's no set, you know, this is the routine of what you do.
No, as I said, there's no treatment plan.
Yeah, good. And there's no set time or ending time.
No, there is not.
Like you come for 8 sessions and then we'll figure out what to do from there.
No, we start out, usually I start out with 3 sessions, approximately 2 weeks apart. And that gives us time to just decide whether we can work together.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to a schedule of once a month, sometimes once every 2 months. And one of the reasons for doing that is because that lessens the problem of developing a dependency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's important. Because you want them to own their own spiritual journey.
Absolutely. It also is a reminder that it's God working in that person's life rather than anything the spiritual director does.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you don't want to take credit for God's work. Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to take responsibility for God's work.
Oh, good point, good point. I agree. Well, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some more about spiritual direction.
Okay.
We're making it easier to listen to the World Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
If you are dealing with chronic illness or a disability, at times you can feel lost with nowhere to turn. It doesn't have to be this way at all. You can become an active participant with your doctor in the healing process. Tune in to A Healthy Way to Be Sick with host Mark Lerner. Mark has developed techniques to make your healing a partnership. Each weekly show will cover 4 main topics and how you can take steps and hear from experts that know the value of patient participation. Tune in every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite World Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at World Talk Radio and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com. Today and stay connected.
Can you think of anybody who does not want a better life and to be a better person? Think about that for a second. Almost everyone wants to be better, but how does one go about doing that? One thing that is making people better every week is tuning in to the Self-Improvement Show with Dr. Irene Conlon. All real change comes from within, but many of us don't know where to find the information or guidance we need to make the changes that bring about the improvement. Most of us don't know how to work within. Listen Thursdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on World Talk Radio Variety. The World Talk Radio Variety Channel, where the world comes to talk.
You're listening to The Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Hello, welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show. Today we're talking about spiritual direction. For many people, that spiritual direction comes about as a journey, going through a very dark time in your life. And spiritual direction, as we found out from our guest host, Mari Zimmerman, is not really directing somebody, but it's the person trying to individually figure out where do they need to go, what's their relationship with the God of their understanding. So back to you, Mari. Explain to us What do you personally have to do? Do you have to be under spiritual direction to be a spiritual director?
Well, there's really no have to. But any spiritual director, I would think, would realize that they do need to be in spiritual direction themselves. Also, a peer group can be very helpful because, as I said before, it can be difficult for a spiritual director to keep from taking too much responsibility for someone else's spiritual journey. A person's relationship with God is their responsibility. But many of us in the helping professions take too much responsibility or tend to take too much responsibility for helping someone else.
Okay, you caught me. I'm guilty. Okay.
So that's one of the things that is very helpful with a peer group, because we keep each other's feet on the ground.
Very important. And I know that's why, as a psychotherapist, I have to have a consultant to check things out and to make sure I'm not doing anything unethical. And it's very interesting that many times God will send a client to me that has an issue, that it's something I need to work on for myself. And so it's a wake-up call to say, all right, are you going to go work on the issue yourself with a therapist or director, or are you going to refer them to somebody else, or are you going to muddy the waters by trying to help them when you're not practicing what you're preaching?
Exactly.
So it's
I know
a challenge.
The feeling.
What?
I know the feeling.
So I always say, I laugh. I say, all right, God, that's the second person this week. I'm getting the message. I'll make an appointment with my therapist or a spiritual director. And then, amazingly, things become clearer. And then there's always another issue to be worked upon. So,
absolutely.
So, could you tell our listening audience some of the reasons that people would go to a spiritual director?
Well, in many cases, someone just wants to be more intentional about their relationship with God. Some people are having trouble with doubts about what they believe, or doubts about what their church expects them to believe, I guess. Sometimes someone just wants another person to walk with them as they determine a vocational call. Or someone may be angry with their church or their minister or with God. And being angry at God can be very, very scary for some people, because some people have grown up with the image of a very vengeful God.
Yes.
Or they've been taught never to be angry with God. And some people have been taught never to be angry people, period, with anybody.
Yes.
So when someone is angry with God, it can be a very frightening experience.
Yes, it can. And it can be very uncomfortable when you're in that dark night of the soul, as I was, and all the things that you've relied on spiritually, they're not enough.
Exactly.
And you're in too weakened a condition to know where to go. Who do I talk to? What do I do?
And it sounds kind of strange, but in many cases, when someone is angry with God, it can be the beginning of a very, very honest relationship with God, maybe something they've never had before, because they've always been afraid to present themselves to God as they really are. And this may be the start of a very honest relationship with God, that they come to God as they are, not as they think God expects them to be.
And for many people, they are taught in their faith discipline certain scriptures. You know, well, if this happens, read this. If this happens, say that. Say this prayer. Do this rosary. Well, what happens if that doesn't work? Or what happens if the person who abused them was in the church? What do they do then? So it's kind of like they want to throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Exactly, exactly. Sometimes people need someone to hold on to them figuratively when they can't hold on themselves. That connection with God has been so damaged that they need someone to hold on to God and to hold on to them.
Many people that have come to me that have been through victimization, abuse, they're very angry, like you said, with God. And what often happens is I will encourage them to go try out some new kind of faith discipline that they're not familiar with, to give them a sense of that there's other things out there, different ways to look at God, different ways to interact with God. And they'll go, and generally what happens is they'll explore everything and they'll pick out some things they like, and then they'll come back a much stronger foundational person, which they might even return to their former place of worship, but they're a changed person.
At one time or another in our lives, we have to claim our own belief system. It's not hereditary.
Right.
And to do that, many times, we have to examine and question. Maybe it's something that we've never had the courage to do before. And just like a time of being angry with God, a time of questioning, a time of doubt can be very scary also.
Oh, yes. And what I've always told my clients, those that are of the Christian belief system, I'll say, what do you think Jesus was doing in the wilderness? Do you think he was just smiling and enjoying nature? No. He was questioning, is this really what I'm going to do? He was truly tempted. If he wasn't, he wouldn't understand what we go through. So if he could have that time, why can't we?
We do. Sometimes we're just afraid to admit it.
Yes, yes. Make it go away, please. It's too uncomfortable.
You know, and another thing, I think we limit our definition of prayer too narrowly.
Yes.
There's so many things that are really prayer that we may not think of it as such. Sometimes journaling is a very, very strong method of prayer. We may not have tried some other things that, unfortunately, some things have gotten a reputation as being too New Agey.
Yes.
And that they're really not. They're ancient. But they have been brought back because they have value and they have lasted through the ages. One I'm thinking of is what is called centering prayer. And it's a form of meditation that that goes way, way back, that is recently enjoyed a resurgence, a rebirth, a revival. Something else that has been very beneficial to some people is walking the labyrinth.
Yes.
And
people haven't experienced that, it's quite a spiritual journey.
And it's an ancient practice that has been revived. And there are different forms. These have been found in different countries dating back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years.
And you can also do a hand or finger labyrinth if people can't physically walk around them. They can do one. I've done a workshop where we did it with a hand one. It was very enlightening. So I would recommend that for people if they can't do a walking one. And they can look up on the internet and find one close to them. And that would be a good thing to try.
And there's no, here again, there are very different ways of walking the labyrinth. You can go in with something in mind that you're wrestling with. You can go in with a scripture, a passage, Mm-hmm. You can go in with a prayer. And I find I've walked the labyrinth many, many, many times, and it's been different each time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that for each problem we can do that. And right now we're going to go to a break, and when we come back we're going to talk some more about spiritual direction.
Okay. We'll talk in a bit.
All right.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our favorite press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the World Talk Radio Network.
No family can survive on two incomes anymore, let alone one. If you are supplementing your family's income working from home, then tune into The Cash Flow Show, Direct Sales Radio. Host Deb Bixler brings you sales tips, lead generation systems, and best business practices that guarantee direct sales success. Whether you're looking for a little extra cash or a career change, The Cash Flow Show, Direct Sales Radio will give you proven systems that will work in your home business. The Cash Flow Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on World Talk Radio Variety.
Are you looking for tips, tricks, secrets, and techniques that you can use anywhere, anytime, on virtually any problem? Tune in to Magic at Your Fingertips with EFT virtuoso Teresa Bolin. You are a divine manifestation of love and light. Take back control of your life and create the life that you want using EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques. You'll overcome the obstacles that stand in the way of living your heart's desire. Magic at Your Fingertips airs live at 6 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Eastern, and 10 p.m. in Japan on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
Holistic healing has been around for over 5,000 years. The basic concept is that of treating the whole person and encouraging a healthy way of living in harmony with nature and the core self. Every week, take some time out for Holistic Healing Moment with host Elizabeth Amey. What is out there and how does it help on the transformational path of healing body, mind, and spirit? No matter where you are on your path, there will be a topic that will speak just to you. Tune in to Holistic Healing Moment, Mondays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, on World Talk Radio Variety.
The World Talk Radio Variety Channel, where the world comes to listen and talk.
You're listening to The Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Hello, welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show. Today we're talking about spiritual direction, which is a misnomer. It's really facilitating somebody's spiritual journey, which often comes as a result of a person going through a very questioning, dark time in their life. It was that way for me. It was that way for our guest host today, Mari Zimmerman. Before we went to break, we were talking about a labyrinth, how people can go on a quest to get a question answered or to wrestle with some kind of dilemma. So that's one of the tools that you can use. Is there something else that you could recommend that people might try on their spiritual journey?
Well, sometimes we need time away, and it doesn't have to be a long period of time. And there are numerous retreat centers available, and many of them are not that expensive. Sometimes getting away from everyone and everything that seems to be closing in on us gives us the time and the space to reconnect with God. Mm-hmm. One of the most meaningful retreats I ever went on myself this was not a guided retreat. I was by myself, mm-hmm. and I read through the Psalms from start to finish. And okay. it reminded me, and all the Psalms, and there are some Psalms that we don't hear too much about. There is no emotion that we experience that is not voiced in the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
There is
mm-hmm.
sorrow. There is anger. There is despair. There is pain. It's almost like walking with someone on a journey. You've got a guide with you. You've got someone that's walked that same ground before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's holy ground.
Yes. Yes. And out of the Psalms came some very great developments of, you know, King David and all the bad choices he made. And yet, look what came from his line.
And to me, that is the ongoing process of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing good out of whatever situation we may mm-hmm. find ourselves that may be painful or dark.
Yeah. Yeah. So there is hope.
There is always hope. There is always
No matter how dark the night may be, there is always that pinpoint of light somewhere. And it will shine forth again.
And hopefully we will be blessed enough to be able to see that light.
Mm-hmm. But that's where you can facilitate. Because I did this with a person I was mentoring. She was a mental health patient and in recovery and said, you know, I just don't believe that God really cares about me or is even there. And I said, well, why don't you ask God to give you some kind of sign that God's really alive or that there's something to let you know that God really does care? She said, okay. So I came back to work with her the next week and I said, all right, so what happened? And she laughed. She said, well, in the backyard, I was sitting in a lawn chair, and I looked up in the sky, and there was a double rainbow, and it wasn't raining. And I said, aha! And she said, well, are you sure that's it? I said, if you need something else, you can ask God, and I'm sure God will do something to help you be assured that God is there. But I just chuckled about that because, you know, you ask for something, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to see it. But we might see it and help them to see it.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's like the old joke about the man in the flood who was on the rooftop and asked God to save him. And another man came along in a rowboat and said, "Hey, get in. I'll bring you to shore." And he said, "No, God will save me."
Uh huh.
And he turned down three different opportunities. And those were God working those opportunities. That was God working through others.
Mm-hmm. And then he goes to heaven and he says, "Hey God, what happened? I thought you were supposed to save me." And God said, "I sent three people."
Absolutely.
Yeah. So people miss the opportunities, and that's where we can come in and direct them in the proper direction. So. Can you describe any of the attributes of some success of maybe some development that somebody's had that has really turned their life around? Or
well, success in spiritual direction is hard to measure. I mean, it usually doesn't produce what we would think of as success stories. We Americans are so used to having tangible results that can be measured, a chart, a graph, or some kind of outcome measurement, that we have a hard time with anything that's as nebulous as spiritual direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that any time a directee is able to deepen their relationship with God or form a more honest relationship with God or go ahead with what they feel that God is calling them to do, even though it's not what their friends, think they should do or what their parents think they should do or even their clergy person thinks they should do. If they feel strongly that God is calling them to do something, to be able to go ahead and do that, I would consider that a success story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And as they accept that that's what they're supposed to do and proceed in that direction, as I found out, I will get more confidence. More things will be revealed. But I had to take that step out in faith and say, is this really you, God? All right, I'm going to take a step forward. If it is, reassure me. And I got that reassurance. So, yeah, good.
And, of course, we have to consult with others, too. I mean, we have to make sure we're not just going off the deep end.
Uh-huh.
But if we do that and we really believe that this is what God is calling us to do, even though maybe we're not going to make as much money doing that as what our successful father thinks we should do or what our Uncle Joe would like us to go into business with him or whatever it may be, that we have to heed our calling. We have to honor our calling and proceed with it regardless of what others think we should do.
I agree. Okay, you wrote a poem about your experience. Could you share that with our listening audience, please?
I can. I hadn't written any poetry since I was in sixth grade until I was going through my recovery process. And that was just one of the gifts that I had buried along with the trauma of abuse. This particular poem is kind of a summary of my image of God and my process through the stages of recovery. It's called Redemption.
Okay.
Cycles, patterns, changing names, returning faces, meeting occasions reborn in the soul of a God who cries the tears of the world's suffering. Spirit rekindles in the fire of rage, burning through unseen bonds, bringing the past to the life of today, salvaging the future to proclaim a God of redemption. Lines and crosses and laying down burdens from the darkness of another time to dance in the warmth of the sunlight with a God who laughs.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And today we hope that those who have been listening will consider the option of seeking out some spiritual direction. And if you have questions for Mari, if you'll send them to me, drmelaniebarton@gmail.com, I'll make sure she gets them. And I hope that you will listen in again next week when we have another interesting topic. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the World Talk Radio Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit worldtalkradio.com. The World Talk Radio Network, where the world comes to talk. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the World Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.